Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse number 24. When you're right there, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read to verse number 29. I'm reading out the King James Version. And this is what it says. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. I would like to speak briefly from this topic. Get out and look up. Get out and look up. God's love is evident in our world that we live in. No question. He created us in it. He created us, mankind, men, women. And before he made us, he made everything that we would ever need. He made the earth. He made water. He made trees. He made the animals. He put the herb-bearing seeds in the ground for us to eat. He made just a wonderful, wonderful place, and after he made that, he made men and placed them in it. And it says over in Genesis chapter 1 and 31, and God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And even in the morning was the sixth day. Verse 2, thus the heaven and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now that's called the Sabbath. Over in Exodus, verse 20, when Moses went up to the mountain, God gave him the Ten Commandments. He told him to honor and hallow the Sabbath day. 6 days you work, the seventh day you rest, and that is called the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is for rest. It's not for worship. There are certain denominations that believe that the Sabbath is for worship, and that those that are worshiping on the Sabbath.
Daddy. Good.
Yes, baby. Yes, baby. Just go sit back down. Just sit back. And that those that are worshiping on the Sabbath day are worshiping on the wrong day, which is Saturday, and that anyone that's worshiping on another day, which is Sunday, there is a doctrine or religion to believe that individuals worshiping on Sunday are going to hell, and those that worship on worship on Saturday are going to heaven, and those that go worship on Sunday are going to hell. It's called Seventh-day Adventist. But it is not, the Sabbath is not a day of worship, it is a day of rest. So, God made this. So I want you to see this. He created everything for man, put him in the garden, rest. And the rest was order. The rest was perfection. The rest was the foundation. He created the man and the woman. He told them to multiply, have dominion over the earth, fish of the sea, fowl of the air, to live upon it. Then, something happened. But before we get to what happened, this past Friday, me and my family, we went to see a movie. And the movie was called Beauty and the Beast. And when we went to see Beauty and the Beast, wonderful, wonderful movie. And the movie was, my family was there, me and the wife and the kids, and a whole lot of other family members. Beauty and the Beast. They fell in love. It was just a wonderful, wonderful presentation. Wonderful things that were going on. But in the middle of this wonderful movie, there were two guys that were dancing. And they looked at one another with affection as to be a couple. When we went to Atlanta this past weekend, my wife took Ava and Saveda to the women's bathroom. While in the women's bathroom, there was a gentleman that came in there that was a man, but he was dressed like a woman. The state of North Carolina just passed legislation to overturn a bill where before they voted to have bathroom designated for transgender, straight man, straight woman, but they overturned it because of boycotts, because of pressure from corporations, and because the fact of them believing that they were going to lose millions of dollars in revenue, they overturned it. Now, the governor of North Carolina is a Democrat, and the legislation is controlled by Republicans. And it didn't matter what political party it was. The pressure came down because of the money issue and because of what's going on in our country. Now, God created perfection and he rested. He made man and woman and he made the marriage. But I have to tell you this day that there is unrest. There is not order anymore. There is disorder that is happening in our world. It is abomination. I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about lesbianism. I'm talking about that which God calls an abomination. We see it every day. You can't help it when you go out in the world. You have managers. You have leaders that don't agree with what they see, but they're fearful of speaking out against this because of opposition. There are preachers that sitting in the pulpit this Sunday that will not preach about this for fear of pressure from their constituents or from local government. And I got a chance to pray over the courthouse downtown prior to the first same-sex marriage being held down in Huntsville. And while I was there, there was a sign that says, "Born this way by those." And they actually believe that they were born this way.
They're actually not born that way, though.
Not born this way.
God didn't make you be born to be one.
Amen.
Or the other.
Hallelujah.
He made you to be one or the other.
Or the other.
He didn't make you to be both. Try to be one and then try to be another.
Amen. Amen. Our former president, Barack Obama, pushed legislation that says that same-sex marriage was okay with the Almighty. Our Supreme Court voted. It says this, that it was okay. And we must accept what the court says. The court is made up of five judges. And these five judges have ruled that same-sex marriage is legal. But there's a last word. There is a judge. He sits on high. He looks low. He's invisible. You don't see him, but he sees and hears what's going on in the earth. And the earth has been crying out to him about what's going on. And this cry that's coming up out of the earth is a cry of an assembly of people, a group of individuals who are determined to have their way in spite of what God says, in spite of what the Bible says about homosexuality, lesbianism, as what it says about same-sex marriage. But this group voice is louder than any group now that is going on, not only in this country, but around the world. And it is silencing the voices of those that are speaking, "Thus says the Lord." And men like me that are standing in the pulpit saying what thus says the Lord, they want to silence me. But I will not be silent. But this cry is going up to God. This cry, he hears it. He hears this cry. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of truth. He's a God of justice. But he is a God of judgment. Whatever causes an unrest in the world that he created, the order that he created, the things that he put in place, he is the final judge and will render
judgment,
order, as the it cries out to him. Psalms 97 said, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." Psalms 9 and 8 said, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." Psalms 9 and 16 says, "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes." Psalms 33 and 5 said, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Psalms 37 and 8, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Yeah. Psalms 37 and 30, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." Judgment. The Hebrew word meaning for judgment is verdict. Whether favorable or unfavorable, there's going to be a judgment. Psalm 75 and 6 says this, "For promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. For he putteth up one and setteth down another." Psalms 89 and 14, "Justice and justice are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy faith." Psalms 105 and 7, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." Proverbs 28 and 5, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Ecclesiastes 12, 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God will judge it." Last week, Monday night, early Monday morning, I had a dream. And the dream that I had is as I was looking out the window and I saw these dark clouds rolling, billowing clouds just rolling. And I didn't know what it was. And I got up and asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, what is this? What is this billowing?" I even called some friends and told them what I saw, and it troubled me so. And I didn't know if it was the evil, and I was thinking it's the devil because it's darkness or whatever, but I didn't understand it. So what I did is I went to the library, and when I went to the library, I looked up a word called smoke, because that's what it looked like, smoke. And when I looked up the word smoke, the first reference of it was our text today, Genesis 19:24. Here's a story of God passing judgment on a town called Sodom and Gomorrah. Before we get that, let me give you some background. There's a man named Abraham that God told him to get up from his father's country to the land that he's going to show him. He took his wife and also his nephew Lot and his family. They traveled down to the land God was going to show them. In the process of time, they became prosperous. Abraham had men and cattle. Lot had men and cattle. It got to the point where the cattle was so great between these two men and the men that were working with them that many times they fought over the land. And Abraham told Lot, he said, "Let there be no strife amongst us." He said, "Now, if you choose to go right, I'll go left. If you choose to go left, I'll go right." Lot looked up and he looked and he saw the green grass down by Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, "Well, I'm going over there where the green grass is." Now, the thing is that Sodom and Gomorrah was there. The homosexuality in that town and sodomy in that town was going on, but all he saw was the green grass. And many times in our life, if you're looking at what's going to be favorable for you, and in the midst of there is evil, you don't need to go there. Because there's a saying that said the grass is not greener on the other side. And so Lot went down to Sodom. Abraham stayed where he was. In the course of time, this is Genesis 18, God came down from the heaven in the form of a man. He had two angels with him. And when he came down, he came to Abraham. And when Abraham saw him, Abraham bowed. And Abraham knew that it was God. And Abraham said, he said, "Lord, come in, sit for a while." Had Sarah make food for the Lord and the angels, and they sat. Then as God was getting ready to go, he said this to Abraham. He said, "Abraham, will I hide from you what I am about to do?" Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17. Genesis 18, 17. Genesis 18, 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from you, Abraham, the thing which I'm about to do?" And the Lord told Abraham, skip to verse 20. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will come down now to see whether everything that I hear, everything that's going on, everything that they're boasting about being married, they boast about having sex with one another, men and men and women, they boast about that. It's on the television, you can't miss it. When you look at the in our day in society, there are more, it seems to be more rights for them, and they're taking the rights away from us. That their voice is more pronounced than our voice. And it's not their voice, it's the voice of the enemy. There is an unrest. But it has come to the ears and the attention of God, just like it did in the days of Abraham. It has come up to God now, and God hears there is an unrest. This cry in the United States, this cry over in Europe, this cry all over, immorality, homosexuality, lesbianism, this cry, God said, "I'm coming down. I want to see for myself." And Abraham in the sea, Abraham said, "Lord, if you find 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare the city?" Let me show you this. Look at verse number 25. Genesis 18, 25.
You said 18:25?
Yeah. Oh. Chapter 18 and verse 25. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. Just stay with me. Says this. This is what Abraham said to the Lord. "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should not be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He's the judge of all the earth. Now, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court has said. It don't matter what President Obama has said. It don't matter what the governor of Alabama says, or the legislation in Alabama. It doesn't matter what any king has said. It doesn't matter what any mayor or any town has said. God is the judge. And this cry has cried out and is crying out to him. And he's coming. My mother said this. If that God doesn't pass judgment on what's going on now, he's going to have to apologize for what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changed not. And this world and society thinks that God is going to conform to them. Well, he's the creator. We're the creature. We are going to conform to him. And if we don't conform to him, then guess what? He's coming. There's judgment. We're living in the last day. Here's the judge. So Abraham, "God, if you see 50 in the city righteous, would you not destroy it?" "Abraham, I won't destroy it for 50. Lord, pre-adventure, if you got 45, would you not destroy the city? Abraham, if there's 45 righteous, I won't destroy it. Lord, if there's 40, would you not destroy it? If I find 40, I'm not going to destroy it. He kept going all the way down. He went down to 30. Lord, if you find 30, would you not? Lord said, if I find 30, I won't destroy it. He said, Lord, let me speak one more time. If you find 20 in this, would you not destroy it? He said, if I find 20, I won't destroy it. Goes all the way down to 10. Lord, if you find 10 righteous, would you not destroy? He said, I won't destroy it. Guess what? He didn't even find 10. Didn't find 10. So God and these two angels, they head down Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 19. I'm getting to where we're going. Chapter 19. They go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is sitting there in the gate. So Lot rose up, bows himself to the ground. That's verse number 1. I'm paraphrasing. In verse 2, he says, you guys come on into my house. Come on in. Come on in to my house. Sit down. He breaks bread with them. Then in verse number 4, Genesis 19:4, look at what it says. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Bring these men out so that we can have intimate sexual relations with them. They wanted these men, and they didn't know it was God. Go to verse number 13. God said this, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy them. Now, there was a time that something like this happened before. There was a time where there were some people who decided that they were going to get together and build this tower, Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11. And they said that they were going to build a tower all the way up to where God was. And they said they were going to make themselves a name. Themselves a name. Not the name God gave them, but they were going to make themselves a name. And that the Lord said, I'm coming down. I'm coming down. I want to see what they're doing. And if I find out what they're doing, he destroyed the tower. Scattered the people. Scattered their language. Because here again is an unrest. Here again is a disorder. Here again is something that's happening, and God comes down and passes judgment on them, and this time God comes down, Sodom and Gomorrah, and says, I'm going to destroy it. Verse number 17. And it came to pass. No, sorry. Go back up. 15. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot again. Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him outside of the city. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He told them, get out and look up. Don't look behind you. Get out of this place. Get out of this mess. Get away from what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't have nothing to do with it. Never, ever again. Move quickly. Right now. Get out. Go. Look up and don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. Get out. This is our text. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So he tells Abraham, get your wife and your girls, y'all go. Get out. Look up. Don't look behind. Go, go. She turns and looks. He told her not to. She told them not to. But she turned and looked and became a pillar of salt. And I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? What does this pillar of salt mean that she turns it to? Now, I wrote something down. In the Hebrew, you know what salt means? Salt. It means salt. So I knew that wasn't it. So I went to Webster's Dictionary, looked up the definition for salt. It says this: a crystalline compound, NaC1CO, that consists of sodium chloride, is abundant in nature and is used especially to season or preserve food or in industry, also called common salt. Same definition. But definition 3 says this: salt means reserved, skepticism. Usually used in phrases like this: with a grain of salt and with a pinch of salt. Skepticism, an attitude of doubt or a disposition of incredulity, either in general or towards a particular object. The doctrine that true knowledge or knowledge in a particular area is uncertain. The method of suspending judgment, systematic doubt, or criticism. A skeptic, a person disposed to skepticism regarding religion or religious principles. Doubt concerning basic religious principles such as immorality, providence, and revelation. Reserve, to hold in reserve, to keep back, to reserve grain. Seed, skepticism, doubt. She was a believer. But she didn't really believe that God was coming.
She wasn't really a true believer if she turned her head around and get turned this out. A true believer wouldn't turn around.
Hold on. She's a believer. But she didn't believe that God's going to pass judgment on her.
On Gomorrah.
On Gomorrah. There are churches. That homosexuality is going on in their church.
Yep.
They ain't saying nothing about it. It's okay. It's all right. Because they don't really believe that God's going to pass judgment. So God is a loving God. He's a kind God. Surely he ain't going to do this.
Amen.
Our God ain't going to do this.
Amen.
The skepticism. The doubt. And so as long as the skepticism and the doubt is going on, it exists in your congregation. As long as the skepticism and doubt goes on, it exists in your house, in your home. As long as the skepticism and the doubt goes on, it's going to happen in the school. Our children go to the school.
Right.
There are parents nowadays that let their child decide whether or not they want to be a boy or a girl.
No.
And now they allow people to decide which bathroom they want to go to. My baby's a girl. There's a grown man that thinks he's a woman, or whether the day he thinks he's a woman, he can go to a ladies'
bathroom.
And so we see this stuff. Don't say nothing about it. She turns around and looks and becomes a pillar of salt. Guess what? She ends up stuck there, just like they got stuck there. And the sentence that was passed on them gets passed on her also. She perishes and they perish too, because they are religious folks and Christian folk that will not open up their mouth and say what thus says the Lord or whatever, and know that our God is a God of judgment. And we know that this is wrong, but we won't open up our mouth. And I'm telling you today, if you think this way and you ain't open up your mouth, you're not saying anything, it's going fine, you're going to get the same judgment that's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. This smoke. Bill. Come. Come. She stopped. He stopped. We went, like I said, we were down in Atlanta. My wife, Sister Bridget, was in the hospital. She wasn't feeling good. And she told us about her son, friend Sean. Well, Sean got married. He's a guy. I saw Sean when we went to her niece's marriage back in a year ago. I knew his lifestyle. I ain't saying anything to him. I got a nephew right now down in Mississippi. He's 6'6". And he looks more like a woman than anything else. He does hair and beautician. But I haven't said anything to him about this. There are a whole lot of people that we know. We know what's going on. But do I doubt that God is not going to pass judgment? I do. I have. But not no more. I've been up for 3 days stressing my face because of this. Had lunch with Paul on Friday. Told him this stress is going on. About this. Get out. Look up. Judgment is coming. What does the Bible have to say about homosexuality? It needs to be said. We need to know. Leviticus. Let me read. Just listen. Leviticus chapter 18, 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, idol worshiping. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to the dishonesty of their own bodies, deceiving themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. If a man doesn't believe in God, he's not going to believe in what God says. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It is a shame to even talk about it. God don't even want it to be spoken of. But it's spoken. It's spoken loudly. People are talking about it. And guess what? That cry has come up to God. He hears it. He hears it. He says he's coming. He's coming. He's coming to pass judgment. Now, I'm about to close. Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, where did we hear about fire and brimstone? We heard about fire and brimstone because verse number 24 in the text, Genesis 19, the first text we read. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of
heaven.
Judgment. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. He's a God of truth. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. Now, I can't leave you guys like that. Can't leave you like that. Because when God came down in the form of a man, it's called a theophany. And many theologians believe that it was Jesus himself in the form of God that came down that Moses saw. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Old Testament. But there's a better covenant over in the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. And we're going to close. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. This is Paul talking. This is what he said. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And effeminate, in one translation, homosexual.
That's what mine says.
Homosexual.
Yeah.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is the good news. 11. And Paul's told them, the Corinthian church, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We got to tell them. We can't keep quiet. We got to tell them about the judgment of God that's coming. They need to know. There is a hope for them. There is a help for them.
Yes.
They got to suffer through Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Because the same one that was the judge has turned around. The judge is now paying the penalty. He has stepped into place for them. Because it's all sin. That's all it is. But he who knew no sin was made sin for them, that they may become the righteousness of God. We've got to tell them. And the one that passed judgment is not passing judgment. He offers grace. The true judge, Jesus, he's a true judge. He offers grace. They weren't born this way. They were born in iniquity and sin. Been deceived by the devil.
Definitely deceived by the devil. They saying I was born this way.
They weren't born this way.
I know they wasn't, but...
But we were all born in sin. And the nature of sin produces this. But Jesus changed it all.
Yes, sir.
That any man or woman that be in Christ is a new creature.
That's right.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become
new.
But the smoke... But the judgment, but the cry, that's coming. We're living in the last day. We have to tell them about Jesus. I spend all of my time trying to figure out how to reach people. No matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, and tell them about the love of Jesus. I got to talk to my nephew. I got to talk to the next person. They might call me a whoremonger. They might call me hateful. They may call me all that. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about their soul salvation, because if this is true, which it is, there's judgment We just read it. The only sin person that's supposed to go to hell is the devil himself. God didn't make hell for people. And when Jesus come back, we all supposed to go back with him. And the devil is supposed to go to hell by himself. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your message today. Thank you for giving us an understanding about who you are and by your great love, Jesus. You considered Abraham and you saved Lot. I pray we pray for those that are caught up in this, that have been confused by this, that may be skeptical, that's doubtful about this, that doubt that it's wrong, and think maybe it's okay, and it's not okay. It's not okay with you, that means it's not okay. Plant this in our hearts and minds. And let's be busy about telling them the truth, not only in our churches, but in the world outside, Lord, telling them the truth, because you're a God of judgment and order. Lord God, I thank you. I pray that anyone that's wrestling with this, has wrestled with this, they won't wrestle no more. I pray that anyone has doubted this, that's in the sound of my voice, that's in the room, wouldn't doubt no more. Yes. I pray, Lord God, that you will sink this down in their spirit and sink this down in their heart, that when we leave here, Lord God, that we will know, dear God, that what we see and what's going on in the world is not in agreement with you, but we're in agreement with you. But I know you love every man, every woman, every child, every person, and they need to know the truth about what you have set in place. And so, Lord God, go now, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and minds with your word. Fill our hearts and spirit with what you have said to us.
Yes, Lord.
That we would truly be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. That we would truly be your instruments.
Yes, Lord.
That we would truly be the ones to reconcile the world back to you. Because you told me, Holy Spirit,
yes,
to get out, but to look up. Get out from this. Look up to you. And tell others the same thing. To get out and to look up. Now may the grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide now, henceforth, and forevermore. And let us all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled